It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. Of course, I'm your host, Scotty Myers. This is kind of the third anniversary show as I record this on the third anniversary of the podcast. I can't believe we've been doing this for 3 years now. And, you know, pretty much almost every week. Yeah, we've been kind of sporadic here and there. And it's just so funny. I think about when the podcast started, it was because I was pent up because I'd been fired from my radio job. A couple of different jobs later, back in radio, but still doing this because this is just way, way too much fun to do. So everybody that has downloaded an episode of this, whether it's one, whether it's them all, you subscribe, whatever it is, thank you for checking us out, staying with us, enjoying it, telling your friends, whatever it is. I really, really cannot thank you enough. It's been a fun 3 years. We may see some changes coming next year. I'm debating on a few things. But as I know, I've been teasing that for a while. I've kind of been waiting for the right time to maybe do them. And I think maybe next year is the time to do them. So once I figure out exactly how that's going to look, I'll let you know. I promise. Let's get into some news. Not geek news to start. I wanted to start with a story about a talking Christmas tree. And I know you're going like, well, what talking Christmas tree? If you watched like Jimmy Fallon, James Corden, CNN did a story on it. A lot of news outlets have done a story on this very creepy looking Christmas tree that has a face and talks. That's in my backyard. It's Woody, the talking Christmas tree. It's in a mall here. And the thing is Woody went away for years. Like, he's getting a lot of attention now because he came back. And it kind of shows the power of the internet. Because when I was a kid, Woody was a thing. And you went to the mall and you stood in line and you told Woody what you wanted for Christmas. And then Woody somehow relayed that message to Santa. No one, as a kid, you didn't think he's a tree. He's kind of planted. It's hard for him to move. But anyway, that was the thing. And back then, his face didn't look quite like... He wasn't quite as done up. Like, it didn't look like he got held up at the makeup counter and everybody, you know, did samples on him or something like that. The new face is a little bit more like rosy in the cheeks. Definitely had some work done on the eyelashes. Those look like press-on lashes and stuff like that. And it is a bizarre thing, but the mall brought it back this year and it has been nothing short of an international sensation. Like, I wish I could get the press that Woody was getting. No word of a lie, I'm jealous of a Christmas tree. Like, honestly, I'm not going to bullshit you. This tree's getting more press than some Hollywood celebrities. It's crazy how much attention this tree is getting. And again, like I say, it shows how the internet shrinks the world. Because Woody was around for years, and now he's back with a vengeance. That was my pitch years ago when, you know, they always brought it up. People brought it up here all the time. Like, oh, they need to bring Woody back. They need to bring Woody back. And I always pitched it as, what if they brought it back, but it was the son of Woody? And he was there to take revenge on the shoppers for killing his father. And so, like, every time you go up to talk to him, every now and then he would just be like, you're the one that killed my dad. Maybe not the angle you're looking for at Christmas, but I still think it would have been interesting. A little different. Nothing. Who says you have to stick with traditions? Anyway, moving on. We are kind of into the holiday season. And of course, this time of year, you get the articles that pop up online of, you know, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? And that seems to be the one that everybody kind of goes to of like, it's not really a Christmas movie, but it is a Christmas movie because it takes place at a Christmas party. And I was thinking, there's a few other movies like that. I've got four of them right off the top of my head that take place at Christmas. You could say they're Christmas movies, but maybe they're not Christmas movies. So I wanted to throw each one out to you. I would kind of give you the argument for, the argument against, I guess. First one is Trading Places, the Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd film. A lot of that film takes place at Christmas, kind of much like, you know, Die Hard. A lot of it takes place at Christmas. So you could make the argument that Trading Places is a Christmas movie. At the end of the day, I don't really put it in the Christmas movie category. I just don't think it has that. Not that it's a dark comedy, because I'm totally fine with a dark comedy, as you'll see with another one on the list. But just something about it doesn't have a Christmas feel. So to me, Trading Places, not a Christmas movie, but maybe it is for you. Let me know. Scotty Mars Show on Facebook and Instagram and at Scotty Mars on Twitter. Next on the list, Gremlins. This, again, dark comedy. This to me is 100% a Christmas film. 100% a Christmas film. The Gremlins go caroling at one point, either in the first one or the second one. I can't remember. But it doesn't matter. They're both, right there. And I would say 100% Gremlins. Gizmo was a Christmas present. You can't get much more Christmassy than that. I don't even think there's an anti-case for Gremlins being a Christmas movie. Unless you say, well, it's got terrible creatures that kill and maim and are, you know, born out of pods like an alien. Yeah, maybe. But that doesn't mean it's not a Christmas movie. It's filled with a lot of joy. I will tell you that. Gremlins would put me in the Christmas spirit. So that's definitely one. This one I've brought up on the show before, and I've noticed it's starting to pop up on the lists of is it a Christmas movie or not. Batman Returns. I say it is, because a lot of the film focuses on, you know, the holiday shopping and, you know, Max Schreck's store, and there's the giant Christmas tree, and that takes a lot of, especially the opening sequence of the film is centered around that. So maybe it's my Batman bias, but I say Batman Returns is a Christmas movie. Fourth on the list is a baffling one to me that it has not come up in any of the millions upon millions upon millions of articles written about is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Is Die Hard 2 a Christmas movie? Takes place on Christmas fucking Eve in an airport with people trying to get home for Christmas. Like, that's literally the plot of the film. He's going to pick up his wife from the airport as she flies in for Christmas. If Die Hard is a Christmas movie, which I'm okay, like, listen, I love the Die Hard films. I am on board with Die Hard being a Christmas movie. But if Die Hard is a Christmas movie, Die Hard 2 is a Christmas movie as well. And then you have to watch both of them. There you go. You can weigh in. If you agree, disagree, you can let me know again, Instagram and Facebook, Scotty Mars Show, and at Scotty Mars on Twitter. Some more thoughts on 2021 before we get into the news of the week. And there's not that much news because as everything's kind of winding down for the holidays. But I thought I'd give you my top five superhero flicks of 2021. We're going to start number five, Shang-Chi. Great flick, really good entry into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to, in all honesty. Number four, I went back and forth between Eternals and Venom. I settled on Venom. And I think the main reason why I settled on Venom was the post-credit sequence kind of pushed it over the top for me. It's very important for the Marvel Cinematic Universe going forward. So I thought there was no way that I couldn't put Venom on the list. Might have maybe been in fifth. I probably could swap those two. As same as three and two, you could make a case to swap. But I put number three, a Spider-Man No Way Home. Really great flick. Hard to review Spider-Man No Way Home because you don't want to spoil anything for anybody going to see the movie. So it's hard to really get into the nuts and bolts of the film and the stuff that makes it really good without ruining it for people. But I will say it is the best version of Spider-Man we've gotten, especially in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'm hoping where this spins out of, we get to see Spider-Man on his own. One of my pet peeves with Spider-Man in the MCU so far has been, you know, Iron Man has to help him. Now Doctor Strange has to help him. Like he always needed someone else. He could never just do anything on his own. Hopefully now we'll get to see Peter Parker do things on his own. Number two, Zack Snyder's Justice League. As I said, number two and number three, I could have flip-flopped. It's my love of DC that pushes Zack Snyder's Justice League to number two. It is a sprawling four-hour vision of a film where the majority of things are right, and I enjoy the majority of it. There's a few things I definitely could nitpick, and there's definitely, if you listen to this podcast on a regular basis, you know that I love Zack Snyder as a filmmaker, but there's definitely some things that he wanted to do or had done in his, you know, Snyderverse that I didn't agree with. And if he does come back, which he's hinting on his social media, there's been a couple of hints here and there that he may not be totally done with DC. And I'm cool with that, but there's just certain things like Dick Grayson being dead, I'm not cool with. If you fix that, welcome back. If not, thanks for coming. You made some great films. Let's move on. And number one, you can probably guess just based on the year, my number one superhero flick of 2021 was The Suicide Squad. I love that movie. Love, love, love that movie from start to finish. And it has everything. Like when it really does have a bit of everything. There's some good laughs in there that are not shoehorned in like Marvel. There's some great action. There's a tad bit of horror. There's an immense amount of heart, especially towards the end of that movie. And it got me. The first time I saw The Suicide Squad, I was in tears at the end of it. So it really got me. Hands down, my favorite superhero flick of 2021. I am very excited to see Peacemaker in his spinoff. Super, super stoked for that. So really looking forward to more from James Gunn in the DC Cinematic Universe. So on to the news, and we're going to start not with Marvel or Star Wars or DC, but we're going to start with The Matrix, because the new Matrix flick has had its premieres, but it will open relatively soon as I'm recording this. You may be listening to this and it's out already. And the initial reactions seem very split online. There's some people that are saying it's fantastic and other people that are a tad disappointed with it or saying, you know, it's good, but. And that's never a good sign, especially for The Matrix, because really, outside of the first film, that is the only one in the trilogy so far. I know this is the fourth entry, but the only one that we've all seen that is kind of universally loved. The two sequels were really hit and miss for people. For me, they were mostly misses. There were great moments in each of the sequels, but overall, I did not get the same enjoyment out of the sequels that I did out of the original Matrix. And one review online said that The Matrix Resurrections was going to be, for the Matrix franchise, akin to The Last Jedi. That almost killed all my excitement for The Matrix Resurrections. I love Star Wars. I have not been able to bring myself to watch The Last Jedi again. I like Rian Johnson. I think he's a good filmmaker. So comparing that to The Last Jedi definitely made my butt clench a little bit. Like, no, it can't be that bad. So I'm looking forward to seeing The Matrix, but heads up, reactions are a little split based on the initial screenings. Heading into the news, Marvel news, we'll start with that. Of course, a lot of talk of Spider-Man No Way Home. It had the second best opening weekend at the box office of all time. Very impressive considering, you know, the pandemic seems to be rearing its ugly head again for the fourth or fifth time. It took in $260 million, making it second just behind Endgame. And doesn't look like we're done with some of the returning villains. Electro, no spoiler there. He's in the ads, so nobody yell at me. But word is Electro could get a spinoff. I don't know what the hell they would do with him in a spinoff movie. Electro has never been a villain that, you know, I think people were clamoring, oh, you know, Electro needs a solo story. I really need a story about Electro. I've never heard anybody saying that. Even when he was announced as the villain for The Amazing Spider-Man, it was like, I guess he's a Spider-Man villain they haven't used yet. So sure, we knew it was going to happen eventually, but nobody was like, fuck yes, Electro, finally. So I don't know. I don't know where they would go with that, but that seems to be the rumor anyway. And also in some other Marvel news, that's really it for Marvel right now. It's been quiet as we head into the holidays, but we know now, thanks to some tweets and obviously photos that are out there and the episode is aired, Vincent D'Onofrio returned to the role of Kingpin in Hawkeye, which means that he is Kingpin in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is great. he was awesome in the Daredevil show. So nice to see him return to the role. Hopefully they use him well. You know, I really, he was so good in it. He deserves to continue to be Kingpin, but I just hope they don't drop the ball with him. I hope they use him correctly. Switching over to Star Wars, just a couple of little things in the Star Wars universe. Book of Boba Fett continues to just drop little short 30-second ads and teasers online as we build to its release as I record this in 9 days. Really looking forward to every little 30-second thing I watch. I get more and more excited for the show. I'm a little shocked, and maybe it's because it's the holidays right now, but that the hype doesn't seem to be there that I think it should be. I mean, we're talking about one of the most popular characters in the history of Star Wars. So I'm a little concerned about that, but I have a feeling it's going to do just fine. I know I am very much looking forward to the Book of Boba Fett. The other little bit of Star Wars news is not so much movie related, but at Disney World, they built that Star Wars hotel and the two-night Star Wars experience, right? Tickets went on sale in March, and they recently, like a month or so ago, and I think we mentioned this here on the podcast, they sold out. Like the first 4 months, they sold out. Well, Disney had a Christmas special, and in that Christmas special, they gave us a sneak peek at Galactic Cruiser. And the sneak peek they gave us was a bit on the bridge, which we've seen a lot of, and then a very bizarre sequence in a bar with a galaxy pop star that came out and sang a song. It was very weird. And I know music has been part of Star Wars, obviously, right? Like the Cantina Band and stuff like that. But it just seemed didn't seem like Star Wars, you know? And then they showed a bunch of concept art, which we've already seen. Now, the thing is the hotel is done. So they could have shown us the rooms, but they didn't, which is kind of suspect, in all honesty. And the internet reacted accordingly. They were like, wait a minute. Why are you not showing me the rooms? Why am I seeing this like girl singing? This doesn't seem like Star Wars. What's happening? So the reaction was not good. Disney took down the video. Like it was on their YouTube and all that kind of stuff where you could watch the sneak peek for Star Wars Galactic Cruiser, and they took it down. And if you went to the Galactic Cruiser website now, suddenly there's availability in the first 4 months, which basically means reservations have been canceled because at one point there was no availability in the first 4 months. That's not a good sign. It's an expensive encounter. Like if you're a family of four, it's going to cost you a ton of money to do this 2-day excursion, and that's it. And then you still have to do the rest of your Disney trip. Because honestly, unless you're loaded, no one is going to go to Disney for 2 days to just do the Star Wars thing. It's like, no, I'm here. I'm going to go stay in another hotel now because you can't stay in the Galactic Cruiser longer than 2 nights. I'm going to go stay in another hotel and get my regular park tickets and everything else. So it's a very expensive proposition. And I think it's a weird thing where you need casual fans to be interested in this as well, right? Because the hardcore fans, they're going to want to take part in this. But even some of them online, when they saw the kind of sneak peek that they showed on this Christmas special, were like, come on, Disney, we love you, but this is not our Star Wars. And so I'm curious to see where they go with this, because right now, it's not looking good. I know they haven't started yet, and you know, maybe when they do that first batch and they send out some people that get to do it ahead of time and review it, maybe that those reactions will change everybody's opinion on it, because maybe they just haven't marketed it well. Like it could just be a missing the boat marketing type thing. But right now it's not looking good. I will say this. To the kind and wonderful folks at Disney. If you listen to the podcast, you know I love Disney World. The thing I think that's been the hardest for me in the pandemic has been not being able to travel to Disney. Like, that's been one of the things that mentally is just been like, come on, I just want to go, you know? But I'll say this to the fine folks at Disney. If you are going to let some people go and take part in this ahead of time and do reviews for Galactic Cruiser, I am offering up my services. I 100%, I will be one of the guinea pigs. I will go sit in the bar and listen to the Galactic pop star. I will do the lightsaber training. I will do whatever, you know. And, you know, you get a role when you're put on the Galactic Cruiser. I will be the Galactic Cruiser janitor. I'm willing to do that to get a review and to get to see this thing for myself. Because I don't make enough money. To be flat up honest, I don't make enough money to do this thing, but I would love to. So Disney, work with me here, you know, even a media rate of like 70% off and and I'll give it a shot. But right now it is not looking like a promising beginning for the Galactic Cruiser. Switching over to DC. Interesting. Matt Reeves was talking about the Batman and he said Kurt Cobain inspired his Bruce Wayne. Just kind of odd, but he was talking about, as he was writing, he was listening to music and Nirvana was on, and then that got him thinking about a Gus Van Sant film that's kind of a fictional take on Kurt Cobain's last days. And he thought, yeah, you know, we've all seen the billionaire playboy Bruce Wayne, but what about a guy that's hurt and damaged and becomes a recluse? A little bit of a different take on Bruce. And I'm curious to see if it works. If you put a picture of Kurt Cobain and Robert Pattinson side by side, you can definitely say the hair has been inspired by Kurt Cobain. And of course, they used a Nirvana song in the first trailer. So it's out there. But I'm curious to see how that will play on screen, having kind of a more reclusive, depressed Bruce Wayne. Henry Cavill was out there doing press for season two of The Witcher, and he was on Stephen Colbert's show. And Colbert asked him, as a lot of people do, about Superman. And yet again, Cavill did not change his tune, which is promising if you're a fan of Henry Cavill as the Man of Steel. He said, listen, the suit is still in the closet, and I am ready to put it back on whenever they ask me to, which is great. Now somebody at Warner Brothers, ask him to. If there's ever been a movie that deserves a sequel, a direct sequel, more that hasn't gotten it, Man of Steel is that film. And you don't necessarily, you know, if Zack Snyder is done with Warner Brothers and DC and all that, which he has kind of said outside of the hints he's been dropping lately, someone else can step in and direct Man of Steel. And, you know, we can pick it up from where we are after the Justice League film where, you know, Superman is becoming more of that iconic big blue Boy Scout version that more people are familiar with and more people are comfortable with. And I think, quite frankly, the world needs right now. I've said that before and I will continue to say it. So someone call Henry Cavill and tell him to dust off that suit in the closet. Colbert also told him to put the red trunks back and Cavill wasn't against that idea either. And you know what? Maybe not. Why not? Go 100% classic with Supes. Keanu Reeves was doing press, obviously, for The Matrix, and someone asked him about Constantine, and he said he wants to do a sequel, which I am not opposed to. You go back and watch that Constantine movie, it's not all bad. Like, I know the initial reaction when it came out was it kind of got shit on a little bit, but it's actually not a bad flick. There's a lot of positives in that, and now with today's superhero climate, where you can do an R-rated superhero movie, you gotta remember, when they made that movie, an R-rated superhero movie was like a death wish. You know, you're going to put all that money into a superhero film and make it R-rated and limit your audience? No one did that. Now they do. So now would be a prime time to make a full-on Constantine movie with Keanu Reeves. And I would, listen, yeah, he never dyed his hair. Who cares? Honestly, if you get that hung up on the hair color of a character, you need to get over yourself. I'd be on board with him coming back, especially now. Like, he's got this second wind of a career where now everybody loves him after, you know, the John Wick films and everything else he's been doing lately. It'd be a smart move on Warner Brothers and DC's part to cash in on an A-list guy who wants to be part of your universe. Basically, it would make total sense to me. And the last bit of news this week, I wanted to toot my own horn. And I also wanted to make an unfounded statement by saying I'm fairly certain someone at Warner Brothers and DC is listening to my podcast. And the main reason why I say that is, if you listen to the show, you know I have been harping that a couple of the DC movies that were going to be HBO Max originals and premiere on HBO Max should go to theaters. Batgirl and Blue Beetle. And from a purely marketing standpoint, I think Batgirl, you know, she's part of the Bat family. Character's never been on the big screen. Well, okay, she was in the Batman and Robin movie, but let's forget about that. So, you know, really never been on the big screen. Definitely could do big numbers box office wise. Blue Beetle, same thing. He, especially the one that they're doing, where he's very similar to Peter Parker in the way he's written. And the toys that you could spin out of the Blue Beetle movie and everything else from a marketing perspective and a toy, you know, money perspective, there's a ton of potential with Blue Beetle. So I've been saying both of those should go to theaters and not HBO Max. Well, so far I'm 50% right, because Warner Brothers has come out and announced that Blue Beetle will not be premiering on HBO Max. Instead, Blue Beetle is going to the theaters, straight to theaters, fall of 2023. So I don't want to say that I was right, but I was right. You know, and they're making the right move here. Honestly, if the movie turns out, I mean, I know it was concept art and that's all we saw at DC fandom, but the suit looked great. Everything looked good when they were talking about the story, you know, and they were saying that it's really an interesting new story. You know, a Latino family, this kid discovers the scarab, and it's all these things that are going to play into the story of Blue Beetle, make it a very interesting film and one that should be seen on the big screen. And now it will be, again, official release date in theaters, August 18th, 2023. And like I say, someone at Warner Brothers DC is listening to the podcast, because I've been harping on this since they announced the Blue Beetle project. Having said that, I know I offered up my services to Disney earlier. I now also freely offer up my services to Warner Brothers and DC. Feel free to reach out whenever you'd like, and I will give you my opinion on any project that maybe you're thinking about or not thinking about. You know, if you're trying to think of a show for HBO Max, you want something a little light, a little fun, Booster Gold, I'm just saying, be a great weekly show. Just saying. That's the one idea for free. Call me for more. That will do it for this week's edition of the show. Again, thank you for being part of this podcast as we celebrate 3 years. I can't believe I've been doing this for three. It does not feel like it. When I remembered that today, I was like, no, that's wrong. Thankfully, Facebook memories are timestamped, and I couldn't argue with the fact that it's been 3 years. But I thank everybody that's listened. Please continue to listen as we hopefully do some new stuff in 2022. And until we chat again, have a great week.